smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 16. I'm Fred Green. Our program today will be of great interest to anyone who has ever purchased, hit, lost, or found a golf ball. We love to talk about new equipment on Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Things like moments of inertia, center of gravity, shafts, grips, but you know, it all really comes down to the ball. Well, today we're going to learn more about the research, design, and production of golf balls from the man who gets to work side by side with the greatest golfer today. And you probably know who I'm talking about. But as always, my partner for Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf is Kenny Nicholson, who's the technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf. Hey, Kenny.
Good morning, Fred.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited about today's show.
Yeah, I know that you are. We've been working on this one for quite a while because our guest today is Rocky Ishii, who's the product development director for Nike Golf Balls. And you've done a little research on Rock as well.
I did, and it's in March of last year, Sports Illustrated revealed the identity of the least known member of Team Tiger. He's Rock Ishii, the ball designer of all of Tiger's golf balls. Ishii is the man who made solid core balls good enough and long enough to convince Woods to switch to it in 2000. Huge change for the golf industry. A couple of months later, Woods won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by 15 shots, and it changed the ball industry as it is known.
Unbelievable. Well, Rock, it's absolutely a pleasure to have you on the show with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning, Kenny and Fred. How are you?
We're doing great.
Doing fine.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, obviously, there's an 800-pound gorilla in this room at the moment, and that's the obvious question, is about working with Tiger Woods. We're going to get into the development of golf balls and which golf balls are best for every type of player, but we really want to start with talking about Tiger Woods. You get to work side-by-side with Tiger, correct?
Yes, well, you know, not only Tiger, but all PGA athlete and LPGA everybody, but the Tiger is one of the biggest, and greatest player to work with, no doubt.
But he must have some innate ability to understand what a golf ball does, well beyond the most educated person who studies it. I mean, he just knows it intuitively. Do you get that sense from him?
Well, maybe not. Not as much as today, like 10 years ago when I started working with him. He wasn't like today's Tiger Woods in terms of understanding construction, material, spin numbers, and aerodynamics. But today, yes, he's the greatest tester, no doubt. And, as you know, he's so smart, so he gets, technical point right away.
Oh, well,
so
we've got to love
great asset for us.
Yeah, we got to love that Stanford education. You're saying it went to a good use, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what is it about Tiger? How has he learned more about the golf ball, and how has that impacted what he can do on the golf course?
Well, we say total performance. He's, he hit long and he can shape, but the most important performance he's looking for is around the green. And on the green, feel and also control around the green under so many different conditions, rough or lie or different conditions. So I learned a lot from him about, different direction into golf ball development, especially, closer to the green. So it's not only distance, but, 14 clubs. That's a comment. That's a area, we've been working with him.
Fred, that brings up a good point. You and I had this discussion not long ago about, can a golf ball be too soft, or do you like one that has a soft feel or a hard feel to it? And a quote from Sports Illustrated from Tiger says, "Rock is incredible. He can take what I'm feeling and transfer it into numbers, and those numbers become technology." And Rock brings up a good point. He likes to be able to feel it around the greens as much as anywhere and still have a lot of distance. So what Rock is able to do to produce a golf ball for the number one player in the world is truly incredible.
Rock, how long have you been at Nike?
It's been 6 years now, but I was like consulting type of position from the beginning of Nike Golf Ball, which was 1999.
And where were you before you got to Nike, and what is your education that brought you to this point?
You know, as you know, my accent, I'm from Japan, and I joined the Bridgestone in tire company right after I graduated master degree in Japanese university, and you know, mechanical engineering and material science master degree, then joined Bridgestone Tire. And I didn't know I'm going to be a sports equipment designer or developer when I joined Bridgestone, because 140 engineers joined together and only one person went to sports department. And I think I was lucky enough. And then started designing golf ball, you know, early 90s, mid-90s, like Nick Price, Lee Johnson, you know, those guys, and Nick Faldo with Bridgestone. And those were players I worked closely. And then, you know, Nike consultant, and Sherry joined 2002.
And what is it, you'd mentioned before working with Tiger, what is it that he's been able to teach you?
Teach golfing?
Well, no, I mean teach you about the development of a golf ball.
Well, again, he wasn't, when we started, he wasn't, you know, he could bring so many, his feeling or, you know, perception in subjective way. But like you mentioned, about sports illustrated, I think I was the person bringing his comment to numbers. And early stage, it wasn't as easy as today, because you know, his understanding level is different than, you know, now. And my understanding about him wasn't as good as today. So we spent probably like 6 months or even more than 6 months to understand each other, and bringing like a, you know, 10 different types of prototype and asking him hit and test. And not like today, again, he didn't share his impression or feedback right away. He was kind of trying to understand everything by himself first, then shared with us. But right now, I don't bring 10 different kind anymore. I just bring probably 3 at most, because we know each other. And I share my technical direction or my next goal with golf ball, and he understands that before he tests. And he goes, okay, I see what you're talking about. And that kind of, you know, quick conversation. So I think last 10 years, you know, we stepped 10 steps forward, like elementary school to university level, I guess.
And what ball is Tiger playing with now that you have worked with? And, well, actually, my question should be, is the ball that Tiger playing with now, has it been specifically designed for Tiger?
Right now, he plays exactly the same as we sell to the market, one platinum with power transfer technology. You know, you're right. In some time, we provide a special, you know, like a tweaked spec, especially early stage of development. But right now, he just, you know, he plays exactly the same golf ball.
What, Rock, one of the things that really changed the golf ball industry, obviously, is going back to around 2000. We're pre-2000, everything was Balata or real soft core golf balls. And then along came the solid core golf ball. And I think that's probably the biggest change in the golf ball industry over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. And you played a big part in that. Was Tiger also part of developing that golf ball as well alongside you?
Yes, big time. You know, without him, I wouldn't think, you know, 100%, I mean, everybody switched without Tiger. And, you know, that was a great, huge impact. And I'm joking to people around myself, hopefully, like, you know, 100 years, 200 years from now, people recognize 2000 as a big change, historical change in golf ball history, you know, from round ball to solid. But yes, I think I saw changing trend from early 90s, like Nick Price won a couple of majors with solid construction. But again, Tiger made major switch, big impact. He made big impact at 2000. So I learned a lot, like technology. There are so many great technology, but without having somebody like Tiger, it won't make a big change like 2000.
So anytime there's any type of change in the golf ball industry, obviously the all of the Nike Tour staff players, whether it be the LPGA Tour, the Senior Tour, or the PGA Tour, they play a big role in the development of that, just through testing and providing feedback and so on to the engineers.
Yes, well, not only golf department, but Nike itself, we work very closely with athletes, and we listen and we learn from them. And we also sort of like educate them too with the engineering information. So, yes, I do work with not only Tiger, but, Stuart Sink, Paul Casey, Trevor Immelmann, or Japanese player, Singo. Everybody, Michelle Wee, Peters, so everybody. I face with them like at least a couple times a year, especially RE season, and to make sure everybody understanding technology and, comfortable with new product. So, yes, it's a great, huge asset for us.
Have you found that Tiger has the ability to articulate what he wants out of a golf ball and have an understanding of what he wants out of a golf ball far greater than any other player you've worked with?
Well, he is, I think, since 2004, I believe personally, he changed his mind, trying to take any advanced technology. At least he tried. So even like a golf ball for higher handicap player, like for us, like a Juice or, Karma, those two-piece construction, he test. And they understand what's inside and what could give him in the future if he takes like a different technology. He's, same thing happening on club side, since 2004, I think year 2005, he changed driver, different shaft length, and different clubs in his bag. So it's been changing. He's as I said earlier, and so many times I repeat, he's a such smart guy and thinking deeper than anybody else about the game of golf or his game. So it's gonna change. I'm sure it's gonna move forward, and I can't predict enough, where we're going to go, but we're looking forward. It's a great opportunity for us to work with him.
Well, I'm sure that we can spend at least 2-3 hours talking about how it is to work with Tiger, but a lot of the focus on this show is for the rest of us, for the golfers out there who are playing every day and losing golf balls every day and having to go out and buy new golf balls every week. And I'd like to get into the discussion of the different products that Nike has in the way of golf balls, what the difference is, and then we'll get into questions about who those balls are directed to. So Can you please give us a breakdown? We know what Tiger's playing with now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what other products are available from Nike, and what are the differences?
Okay, so let me go from a high-end, premium, which is nearly equal to like a tour model. So we have one platinum. It's a four-piece construction, means three covers, and including power transfer technology, which is thickest, about twice thicker than last year's model with new developed material. And right next to it, we have one black, which is distance type, relatively distance model, urethane cover, three-piece construction ball. And like Stuart Sink, he's playing one black, and Chad Campbell those players. And then we have Ignite, which is also three-piece construction, but price point, it's coming down, and also designed for a player having slower swing speed, and tends to go, you know, tends to look for distance performance of the tee rather than the control or feel around the green. It still spins great because, you know, softer serring cover on it. So, you know, it can, you can still spin and control and feel, but distance model. And then we go two-piece models. We have five different two-piece products, and each of them designed for specific golfer or like a target consumer. And one of them is Juice. This is for, I would say, recreational golfer and looking for, you know, just have, you know, fun on the green, on the golf course over the weekend, and may not not be looking for total performance like I mentioned earlier, like a Tiger, but, you know, nice drive and like a crisp feel off the tee, and this is a ball for them, Juice. And also we have Karma. We launched, introduced last October, and the softest ever two-piece golf ball by Nike. It's a compression 50. And our challenge from technical standpoint was durability. So, you know, putting softer core rubber inside and having outer, you know, plastic cover, which is, you know, harder than inside, it's almost like an eggshell structure. So, you know, it cracks earlier than other two-piece golf ball. So our challenge was, you know, how can we make it a durable enough golf ball with this construction, with this softness. And we ended up putting a little bit softer cover on it to for better durability. And this gives a player better feel, better control. And dimple-wise, we designed this golf ball softer compression. You know, normally, softer compression means, you know, more deformation at the impact for lower swing speed player. So this construction also need, I mean, this golf ball is like for ladies player, senior player, or lower swing speed player, like below 90 mile per hour. So they always looking for slightly higher trajectory, or to get the ball in the air quicker. So we put shallower dimple. Shallower dimple gives you a better coefficient of lift, you know, lift force. So this is a good golf ball for swing speed like 90 or lower. And we have power distances, PD long, PD straight, PD soft. This is a price point value segment, and but compression is great, softer than like 10 years ago two-piece. So many people, I believe, are surprised, you know, how much difference between 10 years ago two-piece and today's two-piece. I think that's all.
That was very impressive. But, you know, I think that was very good.
No, that's great. Hey, Rock, what are the benefits that golfers are going to see with this new power transfer technology that you keep talking about?
I think two key areas we need to cover. One is off-center performance, because same concept as like high moment of inertia golf ball,
right.
And this layer resists with the off-center hit better than conventional inner layer material. And it's thicker and also got tons of energy, rebound energy. So when you have off-center hit, you get excess spin, which is like a side spin or too much spin, back spin. But this layer helps reduce it or eliminate it. And other thing is, because of this layer is so responsible, lower head speed player can now enjoy this construction. So we've been telling people one black now is not only for player having 100 mile per hour swing speed, but, you know, even below that, like down to 90 mile per hour speed, they should be enjoy this power transfer technology.
Rock, you know, it's interesting. We receive letters all the time from listeners. Here's one from Wayne Zimmerman of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. He says that he's curious about the differences in ball compression. He's a 15 handicap with a swing speed of about 80 to 90 miles an hour, and he's currently using the Nike Mojo. Well, you just listed five different products that you have. He has a ball that he likes, but it's not in production anymore. How does he know which ball to move to?
I think, you know, knowing 80 to 90 mile per hour swing speed, which is relatively, you know, slower side. So I recommend first probably Ignite, because handicap 15, I think to improve his game, he needs better spin around green or better control onto the green. So Ignite should be able to give him nice, slightly higher trajectory of a longer club, especially like a long mid iron, and plus good feel and spin around the green. Or I may recommend try Karma, because this softer compression should give him a higher launch, and you know, ball gets in the air quicker than Mojo. So those two be probably good recommend, especially winter season like Oregon. You know, this time of year, 40, 45 degree, Karma should work better than any other two-piece golf ball.
And that brings up a good point, Fred. When we get somebody that calls in to us, and they're you know, that medium to high handicap player, and we know their swing speed somewhere around 80 to 90, I am 100% certain that I can sell them the Karma golf ball and we'll get a very satisfied customer at the end of the day. Just a great all-around, good purpose golf ball for the average golfer in that swing speed range. And swing speed brings up such a good point. Just because Tiger Woods plays the one platinum, he's the best player in the world. Is that the best golf ball for everybody to play? And Rock brings up, you hear him mention swing speed a lot. If you don't have a high enough swing speed to compress the golf ball, obviously you're going to be losing, one, a lot of distance off the tee, and two, you're not going to create as much spin with shots coming into the green, so you're not going to be able to stop the golf ball. So those are some very key things that he's bringing up there.
Rock, one of the other things that you talked about was the weather. Are there different balls for different weather patterns, or for, you know, colder climates or hotter, more humid climates? Is there one ball that might be better than another?
Well, you know, as bottom line knowledge, comparing round golf ball before 2000 and the solid golf ball today, it's much better under lower temperature, you know, performing, you know, solid construction performing much better than round golf ball. That's for sure. And when you take so many different solid construction, yes, I would say softer compression always works better under lower temperature. And so, you know, when I get questions like, what golf ball you play, you know, designing so many different golf ball, what golf ball you play? And I always answer, you know, depending on golf course I play. If I play, when I play 7,000-yard golf course, I probably bring one black with me, and 6,500, yeah, you know, a little bit shorter, I play one platinum, because you know, green side performance is key, bigger than distance. And but winter time, especially like Oregon, or you know, which is soft ground and the green is soft as well, I play Karma. So I have like 105 mile per hour swing speed, and but still I can play and I can enjoy Karma.
Oh, I find that really interesting that you select a ball not so much on your performance, but based on the golf course you're going to be playing.
That's something I've been talking to some of the PGA players. And today's technology, like the same as they tweak, you know, loft, lie angle every single week. And I don't think I should share the name of, but I said, you know, why don't you try a different golf ball depending on, you know, course condition. And but 1 point almost every single player coming back with me is like a Sunday afternoon. Like you know, when you get your mentor involved, you have to trust, you have to have equipment, you know, trust, can trust 100%. So then that mentality or concept by player goes back to 14 club total performance design, like one platinum. So I'm talking about, I think, two things. Like amateur player or, you know, recreational golfer, they should look at, you know, different angle, like play different golf ball, different day, different golf course. But when you talk about tour player, competitive player, mental and also confident is involved. So as an engineer, I have to understand. I have to understand those, you know, mental part to design golf ball. So that's a two different sets of development process.
Rock, one of the questions that we get here a lot, and we get on the show sometimes, is: does a golf ball actually have a shelf life?
Not as much as round the ball days, but it is. It's been changing, but as long as you keep like a room temperature, I wouldn't think you notice the difference on the golf course.
And what if you keep it in the trunk of your car through the winter and you live in a very cold climate? Is that going to have an impact on balls,
yeah,
brand new
that,
balls?
And, you know, if it goes like, you know, trunk, summertime trunk temperature, outer and inner layer material, you know, gets too soft and lose shape, original shape, and also, you know, aging process, you know, or over-curing process going on. So you know, you lose the performance.
Wow, Kenny, were you aware of that?
I mean, there's. I'll be honest with you.
That's a revelation.
I learned just as much talking to these guys as everybody does.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I keep my golf clubs in the trunk of my car, and I mean, I live in Florida. It does get cold here. I mean, it was 36 this morning, and it'll be 70 by midday. So, does it affect the performance of the golf ball? Guess what? I didn't know that 100%. I do now. So maybe I'll start bringing my golf balls into my office if I'm going to play in the afternoon or something. It obviously makes a difference. So, Rock, what's the biggest challenge for you guys when you're developing a new golf ball?
Well, you know, it's only 1.68 inches and, you know, white and dimple on it, but so many different challenges in material side, construction, and aerodynamics, you know, dimple design, and also mass production. Consistency is a big key, because like a Tiger, he, you know, continuously talk about Nike golf ball is consistent and always straighter into the, I mean, into the crosswind situation. And, you know, he can expect, he can predict, shot every single time, you know, he made. So, consistency in production is a big key. So those pieces always coming together in early part of development, and then going to final phase of development, you know, we go through, you know, with depth and finalize the spec.
Rock, I have one more question for you, and the reason I'm bringing it up because I know that it has stumped Kenny in the past, so I think you might be the perfect person. Hopefully you might be the perfect person. This one came from Richard Hickey in Laconia, New Hampshire, and he writes, I will be playing in a golf match in the spring in which we will be using our old Persimmons drivers and woods. Of today's golf ball manufacturers, who makes a ball that will respond well to these wooden clubs? Distance is not a priority. Feel and being able to work the ball left and right are really important.
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't tested Persimmon club last, I would say, 15 years maybe. You know, when I started developing golf ball, there was some Persimmon head left, but we didn't test deeply about, you know, matching, especially matching with the, you know, that type of performance club. But I would say, you know, taking shape of trajectory as, you know, most important part for him, I would say one platinum performs better in that part. But if someone looking for today's distance of Persimmon club, I would say, you know, two-piece golf ball. He may lose shape of shot, you know, control, left to right, right to left. But distance-wise, or trajectory, you know, look of trajectory is going to be much like a today's But I would say I would assume he's looking for like a little bit higher spin rate trajectory. Means like you may remember 20 years ago, one golf ball and a persimmon club. Good players expected kind of little ballooning, you know, rising up trajectory toward the apex. And if he was looking for that type of trajectory, I'd say one platinum.
Rock, I want to let you know that you correctly answered that question.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but
no, that's
exactly tough. Good question.
it is, but that was exactly what I said. I guarantee you that nobody's done any testing with persimmon clubs, just because there's no reason to. Well, listen, we know that you're extremely busy, and we appreciate you joining us for the show today. I have one last question that I would like to ask you. I mean, looking into the future, where do you see golf ball technology going? Because the USGA obviously has constraints on you. I mean, it can only be so big. It can only have so many dimples as far as material-wise that you can use. Where do you see the change coming in the golf ball industry?
I think we can see what's going on club side. And last decade, well, especially last 2-3 years, consumer, not low handicap player, competitive player, they started looking for, okay, what shaft works best to me and what launch condition. Or I think right now there are so many players knowing their own spin number and launch condition, which never happened 10 years ago. I may say, you know, Japan may be going like 2-3 years ahead in terms of knowing their condition and buying equipment after understanding performance, such as like launch condition, spin number. And I think it comes to it may come to golf ball side too. And I see that direction and tendency from avid golfers. You know, they want to know exactly what spin he should have, or some player, good our advisory staff, you know, who is green grass professionals. They say, okay, I'm looking for spin, specific number. So it may be the trend next 5 years in golf ball industry, like more like a custom fitting or even custom making golf ball.
Fabulous. Rock, thank you so much. Episode 6 of the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast featured Mark Allen, who's the product marketing director for Nike Golf Balls. And, of course, we had a very different discussion, and listeners can go back and listen to that and talk more about the marketing of a golf ball. But having you on today talking about the development and the technology behind golf balls is just absolutely fascinating, and we really appreciate your insight and your time today.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, Rock. What's amazing is, you know, you talk about golf balls. This conversation could literally go on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so much more to golf balls than what we see on the shelf as far as the development, the engineering that goes into making the golf balls. And, Rock, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on with us. We know you're busy.
My pleasure. And,
we
Thank
definitely
you.
Appreciate it.
And next time we have this conversation, let's do in Japanese. Then I can go deeper than, you know, today.
Okay. We'll start studying.
All right.
I think the next time we have this conversation, it should be on the golf course, and you can really show us what you're talking about.
That sounds great, too.
All right.
Yep.
I like that.
Anytime.
And now, Rock, if you don't mind, can we ask if it's okay? We would like to give away some Nike golf balls. Would that be all right with you?
Sure. For you and Fred and Kenny, yes.
Oh, well, okay, we'll take some too, but we're thinking of our audience at the moment.
Yeah, through you guys, yes.
Okay. So, Kenny, I think that maybe what we can do this time is Rock talked about 5 different product lines that Nike Golf Ball has put out on the market today. What if we give away 5 different boxes to listeners? So if we had 5 listeners that win, and they each win a box, and they can choose whatever ball they'd like. What do you think?
Absolutely. We'd do that in a heartbeat. And I think it's great. Especially they ought to be able to figure out what type of golf ball they might need after listening to the show with Rock. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that. That'll be fun.
Okay. Roch Ishii, the Director of Product Development for Nike Golf Balls, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
Take care, Roch. Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Now, before we go, we've got some business to take care of, and I have to be honest with you. We recorded this conversation with Roch Ishii last week, and we wanted to save it for today's episode, and here's the point where we would be doing our giveaway. And we're talking about a Wilson TW7 wedge that we're giving away. Unfortunately, Kenny is not available today to do the giveaway, so we're just going to have to, I'm not going to fake it, but what we're going to do is we're going to take the list of names, which we've sorted randomly, and there are 258 names, and my production assistant, Carl, is here, and Carl, here's the drill. He's new to this. We're gonna let you pick a number between 1 and 258. That was the number of entries we have, and the winner is the number that you're going to select at random. I've sorted these randomly, and the number you're going to pick is
173,
he said. I hope you heard that. Number 173 is in Salem, Ohio, and the winner is Sherry Fisher. Congratulations, Sherry, and I'm sure Kenny will congratulate you as well. Now, you're going to have to be in touch with us so that Kenny can get the exact club that you would like. You have a choice of different wedges and right or left-handed. Now, if you're going to be sharing this with a male in your life, you make sure that he has to ask permission. This is your club, Sherry. You get to keep it. All right. So the Nike golf balls, we're going to be giving away 5 different boxes to 5 different winners. So Kenny better show up for this one because we're going to have to pick all these different names. Deadline for entry, of course, is April 1st, and we'll hold the drawing on the episode of April 3rd, 2008. Now, remember, to enter the contest, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com, click on the tab labeled Contest, fill out all the information, and that's all you got to do. Make sure that you select Nike Golf Balls because we have another contest on Golf Smarter. You can enter that as well, but you have to enter it separately. We'd like to thank you for listening. We encourage you to write a review in iTunes or wherever you found this podcast. Another method to check out what's happening on the Golf Better podcast is the Golf Smarter blog. And if you have a question for Kenny, but just want a written reply, you can post a question on the blog at golfsmarterpodcast.com. Did you also know that Kenny has a regular column called Nick's Picks right on the Edwin Watts Golf website? He's a busy man. And today, he's very busy. That's why we didn't get him. We'll see you again in 2 weeks for another adventure in golf technology. It's not just the name of our podcast. It's the wish from everyone in the company. Golf better at Edwin Watts Golf.